Welcome to the thrilling world of Security Squawk, where we explore cybersecurity. Guiding you through online threats, we'll aid you in understanding safety protocols and trends. Meet our gurus, Brian from ExactIT, Reginald from ArcSolvers, and Randy from TechRescue. Together, we'll delve into current events and hot cybersecurity topics, helping you comprehend their impact. Stay informed, stay secure. Security Squawk, the business of cybersecurity. Buckle up, let's dive in.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Security Squawk podcast. As she so eloquently said, we are your co-hosts, Brian, Andre, and Randy. Randy is at in the middle of a party right now, like some big Hollywood party that he's just is like, hey, I got to do my podcast. So he took a break from his networking.
Houston Hobby Airport.
There you go.
Hobby Airport.
Well, you just ruined my whole story there, that you're at some hobnobbing at some Hollywood party.
Sorry.
Is that Puff Daddy in the background, Randy?
It is Puff Daddy.
I think it is.
I had no idea that Randy hung out with Puff Daddy or wore shirts like that. But
this is called my traveling shirt.
Traveling shirt. It's your lucky traveling shirt. You don't fly without it.
Exactly.
Nice. So welcome to the show, everyone. We're here to have a little bit of fun with you today. We're going to talk about some hot cybersecurity topics. But before we get into what we're going to talk about today, remember, we do this show out of the goodness of our heart. We take time out of our day every week to bring you the goods. And in exchange for that, we just ask that you help us promote the show and help other people find this content by simply doing the things that you can do on social media, like liking, subscribing, and sharing this content. One of those things can help us on any of the platforms you may be getting us on, whether you listen to us on a podcast, you watch us on a social media live stream, or what have you. Anything that you do to show your support for us helps in any way. While we're live on the show, you can comment and you could ask questions. And if we happen to see it and you give permission to the platform that we use called StreamYard, we just might pull your question up during our live stream. So that's my intro, guys. Here we go. We're going to get into some hot topics. And today we're going to dive into what I'm calling some of the latest cyber calamities that have struck across multiple sectors in businesses across the U.S. And what it's revealing is that these cyber criminals and cybersecurity threats are persistent, and they're lurking in all kinds of different places, and they're happening in so many different ways. And we're going to get into that because not many people realize this, but that big hack, one of the biggest hacks in American history against UnitedHealthcare, is still ongoing, and they're dealing with more cyber criminals as we speak. So we're going to update you on what is changing and evolving with the Change/UnitedHealthcare hack in today's show. We're also going to talk about some failed extortion attempts by cyber criminal groups, massive data breaches that have happened to major companies impacting hundreds of thousands of people. It's wild how much information is out there on most Americans today. And I think that's going to become a big topic of discussion here in the next 5 years. So we're going to keep shining a spotlight on how this information gets out there in the first place and what a poor job companies are doing to protect your data and what people need to start doing to change that. And then we're going to talk about some vulnerabilities in some outdated hardware that you might have in your house or in your office. So we're going to help you understand specifically what that product is on the show today, but also just in general, what to look out for when you're talking about devices that you're plugging into the internet. So we're going to explore these things in today's show. And let's start off, guys, with, I don't even know what my first topic is because I got to scroll all the way to the top. And looks like we are going with, are we going with Change Healthcare right off the bat? Yep. So first article discusses, so this, it's what's being described as an unusual and comedic attempt by a ransomware gang. Oh, this is the front desk one. My bad. This is the ransomware gang Dragonforce, who called a company by trying to call its front desk and extort them. Do I have that right? Is that right, Randy? And it's being kind of called an unconventional approach, but I don't know. I mean, in our world, we've been kind of in tune to these types of scams or these types of social engineering attempts to hack your company for a while now, for several years. So I guess, you know, this is just a new part of the cat and mouse game, right? They're figuring out other weak points or weak entry points, and they've identified this front desk of this company as a strategy to pressure the company into paying a ransom by threatening to release stolen data. So what's going on here? Andre, you want to take it or Randy?
I'll give it to Randy.
Go, Randy.
I mean, yeah, so this is the same type of attack we saw when they were attacking the MGM casinos out in Nevada. I think that was about six-ish months ago. One of the biggest attacks of 2023. Which still is having repercussions to this day. But bottom line is they are going on social media. They're finding things out about your company, about employees. They get a local area code phone number. They call up to your help desk, which 99% of the time, you just go to that IT company's website, or, you know, maybe you go to, like we're talking specifically here, about healthcare. You go to that website, you find that number, you call the help desk, and then you impersonate the employees that you saw, that you found on LinkedIn or Facebook. Throw in a couple of little details, and then boom, most people don't try to stop it. And so this is a way to get admin passwords reset to whatever you want them to be, to find out information. This has been going on, but apparently right now they're targeting specifically healthcare, which officially, yeah, there was a thing like, what was that, like a year ago, supposedly, they were like, we're not going to target healthcare, but they're doing it now, and they're doing it really bad. And this is one of the ways they're doing it. They just try to trick your IT help desk into giving away information, changing the passwords, letting them in, whatever it is.
So the interesting thing is that this person who was a hacker for this particular situation, which the company is not being revealed, but the hacker from Dragonforce basically called this company and said, you have 48 hours to negotiate with us, or we're going to release this data on the dark web. And essentially what happened is this particular employee decided to play kind of dumb with the hacker. And instead of caving to the demands, replied to the hacker with another question or another ask. And it was just really frustrating for the hacker from what the report says. And it ended up where, you know, they both sides came to an impasse, because it was literally just a tactic that the company used to just not even enter into a situation where the hacker had any kind of leverage or was demanding anything. This person was smart enough just to kind of evade all of that and brush that all aside, where they basically then ended the call with something along the lines of, hey, we don't negotiate with hackers and or terrorists, and that's basically what you are. So we've wasted enough time here going around, you know, around in circles, not understanding one another, and ended the conversation. So where does that leave this company? Do you guys think like this is a good tactic by this company? Because ultimately, if you really think about it, what's supposed to happen here is, you know, they're giving you 48 hours, right? And they're trying to put that pressure on you and, you know, make you feel anxiety around, you know, this data being released and to get you to pay. And this person's like, yeah, we really don't care. We're not going to pay you. So, I mean, that just means this data is getting released, right? And this is kind of like going to be the theme of the show today, is we're going to be talking about a lot of people's data that is being released either on the dark web or through some other means. And you know, what are your guys' thoughts on like a tactic like this, where you basically are telling the hacker, like, we're not giving you any money for this extortion attempt, and go ahead and release this data. We don't care. What are your thoughts about this? Because I will say this, we look at ransomware attacks all the time and we criticize through the lens of like, oh, how well they handled that from like a breach coach or an attorney standpoint. This person referenced in this article, otherwise known as Beth, doesn't seem like she was dealing with a lawyer or working with a lawyer in any way, or maybe she is a lawyer. But at the end of the day, you just basically gave, in my mind, you gave these hackers the green light to go release this data, like right now.
Yeah. And I think that's when you need to get professionals in, because, you know, if I'm the hacker and I'm seeing this type of message, and I don't want to call it disrespect because they are the bad guy going in, but at the same time, you know, if that hacker now says, you know what, I'm going to show you, you know, this is going to be the last time, and they're going to try to one up them and just try to do something even worse, to, you know, harm their company. So I would be careful about inexperienced end users just, you know, having conversations with them.
Yeah. Also, if it's Brian kind of alluded to this conversation is now public. And if what she said led to the data getting released, then she and her company can both be held liable now by that data getting released. So that also could be a big thing.
Yeah. So I mean, for this particular topic that we're talking about, guys, when Andre and I were putting together the show, he had mentioned that he had something, and I thought I had the same thing. And now I'm looking at this, and we have two different things. So, Andre, why don't you expand a little bit on the article that you wanted to talk about? Because I talked about the one I wanted to talk about and we got confused, and I realized that they're two different articles now, but they're related, right? They're using employees, or they're using call centers, whether you want to call it help desk, customer service. They're using these departments in companies to, you know, get in or get further into the network. So why is the health department issuing warnings to hospitals? What's going on there?
Well, this is something that we should market somewhere, because here you have the health department issuing the alert to all of the hospitals. So that means that they're already seeing it. Hospitals are already reporting it. And now it's going to probably be, you know, the hackers are now seeing, wow, this is actually working. So next thing they're going to do is they're going to use this as their new tactic to now try to get more hospitals. And you're going to see more hospitals start to get compromised. And then probably a couple of months from now, we're going to just start to see hospital after hospital have some type of internal breach. And I say internal because what's happening is that, as Randy, you know, mentioned as well, is that you have the hackers now calling the help desk just saying, hey, this is Bob. You know, I got my new iPhone and I'm trying to set up my email and it's not working. And because, you know, all of these data breaches that we always talk about, we're going to be talking about Home Depot with, you know, 10,000 employees of their corporate ID and social security numbers, and all of that information is out on the dark web for pennies. They're, what's up, Brian? Oh my God, what?
You're giving away the show.
No, but it just ties everything in, because it's going to be like, okay, Home Depot got compromised. Now the hacker has this information. And now they're going to call help desk to say, hey, I'm Sarah Ann. My social is 8521. And then from there, IT help desk is going to use that to authenticate, or even if they're not using their social, but their you know, company ID, whatever it is. And then IT is just going to be like, all right, I'm going to reset your username and your password. And this is exactly what the health department is warning to hospitals. But unfortunately, what we've seen time and time again is that these hospitals are not getting the alerts. They don't think it's going to happen to them. I don't know. It doesn't have enough time, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, and this is just, you know, I was thinking about this, like a really good IT technician, man, they focus on the problem and they solve it and they get it done. And what they're doing is they're really taking advantage of that, because what does that IT technician want to do when you call in, you have a problem? The first thing on their mind is they think of how it needs to be fixed, and boom, they want to just act on it. And so we've got to get our IT help desk people to slow down, take a deep breath, and we need to basically start doing some processes that slow it down a bit and make sure that who's calling in has been authenticated and we know who they really are before we start giving away the farm.
Yeah, 100%. So we'll see where these go. We'll see where these extortion attempts go and how companies respond over time and what becomes the more prevalent mode. But this is an interesting move by not only this company to avoid negotiating a tactic. We'll see if it actually plays out. But then, the warning is out there that this, the companies are going to be attacked like this more and more. So just like they had to figure out ransomware attacks, they're going to have to figure this out too and how to deal with it. So moving right along, speaking of ransomware attacks, we have Jackson County, Missouri, who declared a state of emergency and closed several offices in response to a suspected ransomware attack affecting their IT systems. The attack disrupted services like tax payments, marriage license issuance, and inmate searches, but did not affect election offices during a special election day. This incident is part of a larger trend with numerous local governments facing ransomware threats in recent years, and the county is investigating the cause and working on mitigating the attack's impact and emphasizing the protection of resident data and county assets. A little too late for that, probably, at this point. What are your guys' thoughts here? What's going on in Jackson, Missouri?
Exactly what I thought, a little too late. It's like, protect everything. Make sure all the sensitive information is safe. It's like, no, that was supposed to be done before. And then when this happens, you're supposed to be like, oh, all right, at least the residents and citizens' information is safe. Order of operations is wrong there.
And my skepticism radar went off big time. So you're trying to tell me that elections weren't affected and everything else is affected? To me, that sounds like something's a little off to me, because why are they going to want to be in those systems anyway? What are they going for by being in there? So I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because the person that ran, they won undefeated. So that, not sure if that has anything to do with it.
They got 100% of the vote.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I mean, I was actually at an event last week talking to a local elected official who the town over from them in New Jersey was hit with ransomware recently. Really wasn't in the news either, but it was a really, really small town in New Jersey. But, these hackers, they don't care, at the end of the day. Whether you're Los Angeles or you're some podunk town in the middle of the country with like 15 residents, if you have computer systems, they're willing to take them down. And the ask might not be in the millions, but it might be a few thousand dollars or a couple $10,000, and there you go. So you have to do everything you can to start protecting yourselves, and especially these local governments, because they know you have the money, they know you're going to pay, and that's why they attack you, they know you don't do a very good job with cybersecurity. So it's time to get on the ball. Moving right along, guys. So let's jump into the Change Healthcare situation that's ever evolving. It seemed that United Healthcare / Change Healthcare is considered to be definitely the largest breach on healthcare in the United States, and potentially the largest cyber attack in the United States. That's basically how this is playing out. And they were targeted in a second ransomware attack by RansomHub. And this group has allegedly stolen 4 terabytes of data, including sensitive information of U.S. military personnel, patients, their medical records, and their financial data. They're demanding an extortion payment, threatening to sell that data if not paid. And the situation puts Change Healthcare in a challenging position, especially just after the previous attack by Alf V and Black Hat. So it just kind of highlights, guys, the complexities of the ransomware ecosystem, affiliate programs, collaboration between groups. And we don't know how this group got in, right? This could have been a back door planted by Alf V and Black Hat to potentially let another group or another, as they call it, advanced persistent threat group to come in and do something. It could be that they didn't address the screen connect issue that supposedly caused all this, if my memory serves me correct. What do you guys think is going on here? How did this happen to them again? Such a big company, too. You're muted, sir.
I would say right off the bat, there's a very large percentage of people that are or businesses that are hacked actually get hacked again. So it's not unheard of. A lot of times you pay the ransom and then they don't just get out. Either they keep a back door or they give back door to someone else. Looks like that's what's happening here. And I guess kind of on a side note, we've mentioned this before, but we don't really think about all the repercussions. And there's a lot here. There's a lot of small mom and pop, if you will, doctor's offices, dental offices, or whatever, that are unable to get reimbursed for healthcare claims right now because of this system being down. And now the fact that there's another ransomware group involved here, it just makes it even more complicated and more of a mess.
And there's blood in the water, as they say, because they paid the $22 million. There's a different story of how if who got it, but nevertheless, they know that, you know, $22 million was paid. So they're like, hey, we're opportunists. Let's see if they're going to want to pay some more. Oh, you're muted, Brian.
You're muted, Brian.
Yeah, it's wild to me that this keeps happening, though, to companies. I mean, I know Randy pointed out that, you know, that this is common, but for a company like this, it shouldn't be that common, right? One of the most famous stories that I know of out there, and I've talked about it before on the show, is the Jack Daniels one, where a company that is owned by Jack Daniels, one of the distillers, kept standing up the same server over and over, and it kept getting hit. They got hit with ransomware 3 times, but all they kept doing was restoring their from their backups, you know, back to the old server that got hacked in the first place. They weren't ever addressing the issue. So that's interesting to me that it's still, we're this far with this big of a company, and we're still having, you know, issues with multiple ransomware attacks. It's crazy. And this sounds like an extortion attempt, not so much a ransomware, but how did they get their hands on 4 terabytes of data? That's the question.
Now, could they have purchased it from the dark web and then now just going back to them and just saying, hey, we're going to.
Yeah.
Because yeah. They could just easily fall for that.
Too, yeah, because right? I've talked about this before, and this is the thing I think people need to wrap their heads around. And this is, I'm talking about everyday people, when I say everyday people, I mean like you're going to be impacted by these ransomware attacks someday. Like you're going to experience something in your life that's not going to be pleasant, and it's going to be the result of some cyber criminal finding your information on the dark web or buying it on the dark web through one of these hacks. That's the simplest and most layman's way I can put what's going to happen to people in the future. But people are completely unaware of what's coming. And yes, we are aware of identity theft and it happening, but I think it's like one of those things where people don't think it's ever going to happen to them. And unfortunately, this is becoming such a problem and your information is just so freely available today that this is going to become more common. If it's not in the next 5 years, one of the top ways that people suffer are victims of crime, I will be highly surprised. And I'm talking about when you look at both like violent crime and nonviolent crime, this is going to be a big problem for a lot of people. And we're about to get into multiple articles that back up what I'm saying. It's just it there. And so going to what you said, Andre, and tying it back to that, yes, these guys are figuring out how to monetize this stuff over and over. So yeah, maybe like this group that did the initial hit, all they care about is getting paid for what they did, right? They turn around and sell it to somebody else. But then those people look at the data set and say, what do we have here for data? Okay, let's go figure out how we can make money off this. And they must have devised some kind of plan where they figured out that they can use this data and tell United Healthcare and Change Healthcare, we're going to go do this unless you pay us, which means that we basically devised a whole a plan to scam all these people in some way, shape, or form. And you can prevent that from happening if you pay us. But if you don't pay us, we're going to go commit crimes and extort all these people. Right. And that's what this is boiling down to. And we're not just talking about identity theft. We're talking about you getting a phone call with somebody who knows more information about you than anybody on this planet. And they're using that against you to scare you into paying them. And then if you pay them once, it's just like those gift card scams, right? How did they play out, right? They call grandma once, they get her to go to CVS and buy a bunch of gift cards, and they call grandma again. They call grandma again. Before you know it, she's out $20,000. Right. And she's not telling anybody. This stuff is going to go down the same exact way. Crazy, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And I just Googled the top 10 most crimes in the US. And this is a little older, it's a 2021 article. But cybercrime was number 10. And then, you know, you have drugs, aggravated assault, motor vehicle, burglary. And, you know, with cameras and all of this other stuff happening, you know, all of that is going down. So I could definitely see cybercrime being top three, probably.
Yeah, because why don't we just get right into it? Keep the show rolling. Home Depot confirmed the data breach caused by a third-party SaaS vendor, those third-party vendors we talk about all the time, exposing the details of 10,000 employees potentially for targeted phishing attacks. Although the data was not highly sensitive, the risk of further information theft and network breaches remains significant. Home Depot advises employees to be cautious of phishing emails, right? So again, it goes back to my point that these guys now have more information about you than the average bear. And it's one of those things where if your guard is down, they can take advantage of you very quickly. And that could be, you know, taking advantage of you and causing financial harm to you, or getting into your company, getting into your company's network and hacking your company. So I know, Rick,
I mean, this is something I harp on all the time, because every little piece of information they can get lowers the guard of whoever they're trying to fish, schmish, or whatever. I mentioned this last week, but we recently did a schmish, which is SMS phishing. We knew the boss's name, and we sent out to the organization on their mobile numbers and said, hey, you know, bring this to your next meeting. And it had some link. And then we said the boss's name. That's all we needed. We could have got that off of LinkedIn. And we were just testing. And we were able to get like 33 or 35% of the employees to click on that link with that one little piece of information. So imagine if you could take all of this information that's getting leaked. And it just makes people's guards go down. They're like, oh, yeah, they know Susie, my boss. Oh, it's all good. Let me give you this information, or let me click on it, or whatever.
That's right.
So, yeah, these are a lot bigger deal than they ever act like.
Well,
you know, what's interesting as well is that with this Home Depot exposed employee information, I just Googled it looking for another article, and this article, another article says 17,000. And when we look at the details, today's what, April the 9th? This article is from April the 7th. According to the statement, it says in April 2024, so it's only been like seven, 9 days, Home Depot suffered a data breach that exposed the corporate information belonging to 10,000 employees. So I'm going to put some money on the table to say one is 10, another 17, and the next big holiday, it's going to be way more. And they're going to edit their disclosure.
Definitely a high probability. So not a bad bet on your part. So, well, let's talk about the other data breach in the news this week, a big one. A major cancer treatment and research center known as the City of Hope reported a data breach affecting over, get this one, 827,000 patients, almost a million people, guys. And this incident exposed sensitive information, including names, social security numbers, and medical histories. Not, probably not a lot of things that cancer patients want out there. The breach occurred between September and October of 2023, with City of Hope implementing additional security measures and offering identity monitoring services to affected individuals. I don't know how identity monitoring helps you when they have your medical history, but we can debate that. Not good news here, guys. It kind of goes with the theme of the show. I don't know how much we want to stay on this, but here's almost a million individual data points that are out there. So, you know, it seems like every two or three days we get a million more data points out there for hackers to just, you know, have a field day with.
And, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, so on one side, we had that one of our first articles, how they were targeting, you know, the staff. And now here we are, they're targeting the client. So hospitals, you got to step up.
Yeah, they're
like, one more thing. Imagine us small business owners. If that happened to us and, like, you know, 30%, 40% of our clients, we had some type of breach or some type of failure like that, we'd be out of business.
Yeah, so it's almost like, I wouldn't say the healthcare industry, you got to step up, quite frankly. If you really peel back the layers of what is going on, Andre, I'm going to get on my soapbox here a little bit. Like, these companies change healthcare, and these big companies that get hacked, and I think that's kind of what you're referencing, right? If you know, these big guys are getting hacked, and it doesn't seem like a lot happens, but, you know, these little guys, when they get hacked, they don't have the pockets, the deep enough pockets to survive like some of these companies. And you're damn right, because if you look at some of these companies, if they're not publicly traded, they're private equity backed. So is it really an industry problem, or is it a result of the money, right? Private equity and publicly traded companies not valuing cybersecurity so they can raise the valuation of their companies, right? Be more profitable. Right? Everybody knows you spend money on cybersecurity, you're not going to be profitable, right? And you're hedging off, you know, things like, you know, having to pay for a cyber event or a poor reputation. That's what you're doing when you're investing in cybersecurity. You're hedging off the chance of that being a problem for you, right? And that, unfortunately, yes, is the cost of your profit to do that, right? So that's the reality of the world we live in. And as I look at the situation, yeah, there are some industry problems. Like, I think when we talk about municipal governments, yeah, they're not private equity backed, but they're taxpayer funded and they're taxpayer backed. You know, they're not guys like me and you who go to show up to work every day and we got to make it work, right? You know, they just go out and vote on their council and raise everybody's taxes and boom, puff, they have more money. Like, I wish I could go to my clients and say, hey, we voted to raise your fees today. That doesn't happen in my world. You know, I get shopped. I get, you know, they go find another IT company. So that's the reality of where we live, but that's the reality of what's going on. And I think people need to take a look at that too. where does their money come from? Who do they answer to? Because I think if when you're not answering to, when you're answering the stockholders and stock prices and or private equity investors, you seem to see where the deficiencies in cybersecurity start to, you know, shine through more than other places.
That's a really good point about profitability, because you're right. If you're not spending any on cybersecurity and you have a 8%, you know, profitability margin, and then all of a sudden now you're spending, you know, $300 per employee, you know, you're going to lower that margin. That could be an entire show here that we could talk about, because, you know, that yes, right now that could lower your profitability, but if you got hacked and had an extreme loss of reputation, like that could be 100 times worse. You know right. what I mean? Where, what is it, like 60% of all businesses that get hacked go out of business in like, what is it, 6 months?
Right.
Huge number. And so, you know, yes, it can lower profit.
But I will argue this, right? I will argue this, like, and I'm picking more on private equity here for a reason, because I see a lot of these companies that are private equity backed just not doing anything around cybersecurity. But if you look at the numbers from private equity, something like 93% of private equity backed companies fail and only 7% survive, right? So either, like, if you're a private equity guy, okay, we got a 93% chance that this company we're going to invest in is going to fail anyway. Are you really going to spend more money on something that's going to put you in the same place? It's just going to make it happen quicker. So that's my thought on that. But it'll be interesting to see who gets hacked in the future, and we'll tie it back to, and something we can, a trend we can pay attention to on the show, right? You know, is this company publicly traded and or private equity backed? I guarantee you a lot of the ones we cover, it's going to be that. So.
I know we only have a few minutes, but so sure. It kind of also sounds like we're saying they can afford
right.
to go through the process. Like they can afford that calculated risk.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a calculated risk. Whether you want to call it Russian roulette or whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day, they're gambling. But business is a risk. Business is a gamble, and that's something you gotta decide, right? You know, I have a 30-year-old house. I just put a home security system on my house, a very good one with cameras and everything. It's like Fort Knox now. It wasn't like that until I moved into it, right? So the people that lived there before me never had this stuff, right? I guess they felt like they were never going to have a problem. Where I'm, on the other hand, I got a security system in place because in the event that somebody tries to rob my house, you know, there's going to be a quick response, you know, based on what I have set up, right? And that's kind of how I look at it with businesses. Good. All right. So last topic, we'll blow through it real quick. And we want to point out that, you know, this is a big problem, right? This is, if you think about what we're about to talk about, it's a smaller scale. It's a smaller device. But at the same time, it's really the same reason why we're even talking about Change Healthcare in the first place. And somebody took advantage of a vulnerability. And we wanted to highlight this flaw in this D-Link NAS device, because these D-Link NAS devices, we know what they are, and we typically find them in two places, homes or small offices, home offices, SOHO offices, right? And these devices are at their end of life, but they have a little bit of a problem. The problem allows for unauthorized remote command execution, or RCE. Sometimes you'll see that acronym. And basically what it is they have what's known as a hard-coded account. So like when you set up a device, it usually says like, hey, set up a username and password. And what we've found over the years is that sometimes these guys that build like routers, firewalls, switches, and NAS devices, sometimes in their code, they try to make things maybe a little bit easy for themselves for testing purposes or whatever. And they'll put the username and password, like a valid username and password, like literally put it in the code. So not only does it check like your database of usernames and passwords that you create, but it also checks like this line in the code, and it's hard coded in there. So if a hacker can figure that out, they can just log right into the device and it's a valid username and password. So somebody did some research and there's over 92,000 of these D-Link NAS devices that are exposed to the internet right now, could be sitting in your house or in your office. And these are exposed and online and vulnerable, which means that if I can figure out that you have one of these running on your network behind your Comcast modem or wherever you have it, and you might be sitting there thinking, well, how, he's never going to find me. Well, let me break it down for you. There's a, like a Google search engine called Shodan that will find this device for us. Like we don't have to go very far. And then we go to this search engine and we say, show me all the, you know, D-Link NAS devices running this version of the firmware. And once I have that listing, I can go one by one right down the list and click on them and try to log in with this now known hard-coded username and password, and puff, I'm in your NAS device. And what am I doing once I'm in there? I'm encrypting or deleting data and then sending you a ransom note and putting that on your NAS device saying, if you want your data back, contact me here at this email address. So that's what's going on with these D-Link devices. Thoughts, guys? And again, these are no longer supported, so there's no patch. So
yeah, so you need to figure out all the things that you have in your office network that your business is using, and even at your home. You need to figure out if they're what we call end of life. End of life means they're no longer supported. So if this was a supported D-Link device, they find this little flaw, they issue a patch, and boom, it's gone, and you're good to go. But it's unsupported. And the thing is, the router, well, this is a NAS. So getting access to that could give them access to all the data, could give them a back door inside your network. Like, do you want somebody in your network all the time, monitoring everything that's going on and looking for flaws? I mean, there's a million reasons here to not have this. So bottom line, you need to know all of your things that you have. That are devices like this, are they end of life? If they are, time to get rid of them. If they're not, make sure they're patched and up to date. That's the best thing you can do.
So I'll just give you a good example of something that just happened to me around this. So about four or five years ago, I bought these light switches, smart light switches, in my house and installed them, you know, and replaced like the old, you know, obviously you can still flip them on and off at the wall, but you can also control them. You can also control them with, you know, your smart device or your Alexas or whatever. And I did a quick search on my network to see if these things were vulnerable, and they were. And then I went back to the manufacturer to see if there was an update and found out from the manufacturer that the light switches were no longer supported. So guess what I need to do? I need to replace all these light switches in my house. And it's annoying as shit, but that's the reality of smart devices, right? They don't last forever. So if you think you're going to buy one of these smart devices on Amazon and it's going to be something that you can use securely for the next 5 to 10 years, you're sorely mistaken. It's probably going to be not supported within 2 years, and then you're in trouble. So think twice about, you know, putting these devices, because look, I don't want to be swapping out light switches. They're a pain in the ass. It's not like it's like a swap out in and out. It's going to take me like 10, 15 minutes per light switch to change out. And, you know, times that by 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And, you know, you could be looking at half the day.
You should check into the brand names. Like, who are you buying them from? You know, if they're
Quichibo. But even if you buy them from GE can just decide, like, tomorrow we're not supporting this switch anymore, exactly, this bulb anymore. And then you're in the same spot. So even if it's a fly by night, like Chinese name or whatever, Amazon Basic, you don't know who really makes it. Just be careful and understand that, you know, you might be thinking like, oh, this light switch is so convenient. But at the end of the day, if you got to replace them every 2 years, and it, like, look, I'm at least handy, I can do those types of things. There's people in this world who need to hire an electrician to come out and do that. You know, at that point, you might as well hire somebody to be on a retainer for, and every year they come out and just swap the stuff out for you. So, all right, Randy's got to go. Thanks, brother. Thanks for stopping in and joining us during your travels. Have safe travels.
Appreciate it.
Tony wants to know something. Andre, you want to stick around and answer Tony's question? Or?
Yeah. And Randy, make sure you go visit the Colonel Sanders Museum over there.
This guy's talking about network segmentation. Right, and Tony wants to know, what is your opinion on adding those IoT devices to a network that is separate from your actual network? I think it's a great idea. It's actually one of the ways that you're probably going to have to deal with maybe a NAS device that's no longer supported that you still need to use, right? Because that's one thing that we talk about when it comes to vulnerability management with our clients or people that want to know how to do vulnerability management properly. Well, yes, obviously, you know, your first option is to patch it, but what if there is no patch, right? And you need that. It's a critical piece of your business, that system, right? And there's no patch, or if you do patch it, and we run into this too, where like, if we patch this, it's going to break the software or break something with that system. And we can't afford that, right? That's when you start figuring out ways to protect it in other ways, like network segmentation. And then you do things like control the traffic, or, you know, monitor heavily the traffic so you understand what's coming in and out of that vulnerable device that you now have as, you know, part of your network, but segregate it from the rest of the business so it can't cause a problem for the rest of your business one day. What are your thoughts on this, Andre, with segmentation?
Yeah, if it's temporary, I mean, there are ways for, there's something called VLAN hopping. There's misconfigurations that can happen. So if it's something temporary that, okay, look, we know it's out of date, we have a plan in action, but we just need 6 months, a year, or whatever the case is. But if it's just something where, all right, these are out of date and we're just going to put it on a separate VLAN forever until it breaks or whatever, then I don't like that idea.
Yep. So I love it. Thanks, Tony, for the input. We appreciate your support. That does it for us, guys. We got to run. We'll talk to everybody next week. We'll bring you more cybersecurity news and events to discuss and break it down for you and give you our expert opinion. Remember, help us out by sharing the show, liking the show, subscribing where you can, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Take care.